figured while Pastor Tim was out, I would do something a little crazy, a little different. How to take advantage of the opportunity. So I've actually asked a couple friends of mine to kind of join me on the stage for a minute, and they're going to help me out with something this morning. Chris Bledsoe and Brian Shockley, two good friends of mine, they're coming down. Brian's right there. Where's Chris? All right, he's coming right here. All right, he's doing a little better. Earlier, I had told Brian just to wear a t-shirt and jeans and tennis shoes, and you know, Chris told me he was going to wear that, and he came in with khakis and like a polo shirt and all that. But I'll tell you this, earlier I kind of pointed out, I just like to kind of, you know, make it known that these guys are actually a good bit older than I am. I just wanted to let everybody know that. But I really say that for a reason. Be honest with you, I've worked with college students for 6 or 7 years now, and know a lot of college students, know some really fit college students that work out a lot. And I can tell you this, out of all the college students and high school football players and all that, when I think of the two fittest guys that I know, it's these two guys right here, okay? And that's why I asked them to come up here. They're a part, I actually asked them to wear these t-shirts, they're CrossFit t-shirts, and I asked them to wear those because they're a part of this fitness revolution called CrossFit that's way too intense for me. I go to Gold's Gym, and they keep asking me, man, you need to come work out with us, you need to come work out. I was like, ah, man, that's crazy, I don't do that stuff. And there's a reason why, and these guys do it, and they're incredible. But I got a challenge for you. Y'all didn't do CrossFit this morning, right? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're actually going to have CrossFit. And, you know, Pastor Tim would actually be proud of me because he's a CrossFit, you know, member too. I don't know if there's really a membership, but anyway, he's part of the crew. And he'd be proud of me because we're going to have CrossFit on the stage right here, Eagles Landing First Baptist Church. These guys are going to do it right here. And I've kind of introduced them to a new CrossFit workout. See, CrossFit's a little different. It's not like the same exercise. It changes up all the time. Every day something different. So I've invented, y'all should be proud of me for this. I've invented a CrossFit workout for you guys, okay? We're going to have a race. Chris, you start right there. Brian, you come over this side. And this is what we're going to do. Brian, you're going to take off in just a minute. You're going to run that way, all the way up, cross the back, down these stairs, and back up on the stage. Got it? Yeah. Pretty easy? All right, Chris, this is what you're going to do for me. You're going to take off that way. You're going to go up those stairs, go all the way across the balcony, down these stairs, back up on the stage, okay? All right, now here's the deal. When I ask these guys to do it, I'm telling you, I've got the text to prove it, okay? They're both telling me that they're going to come in as the victors. They're both telling me they're going to win. Brian's saying there's no competition. He's got it hands down. Chris is saying it's no competition. He's got it hands down. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, who's going to win? All right? I mean, I would say we'd take a vote, but here's the thing, okay? There's only one deal, though. Chris, you're going to be carrying something with you as you do this workout, okay? So hang on one second. I've been packing for, we got a trip to Panama here, and actually this Friday, we're pretty excited about it. We're going to be sharing the gospel with some Indians down in the country of Panama, and it's kind of like a backpacking adventure. We're going to be canoeing to villages, and so I've been kind of packing all week, and yeah, you know, I just figured I need somebody to kind of test out my pack, make sure it's going to hold up. So, Chris, got you a backpack here. Now, the thing is, this backpack's about 60 pounds. I weighed it last night just to see. It's about 60 pounds. I'm going to let Brian pick it up first just to, you know. All right, Brian. See what you can. All right. Okay. It's the real deal, right? Okay. All right. It's a pretty heavy pack. Let's see if we can get it situated on you. See what you can do with that. I even got him some Purell on there, just in case he gets dirty along the way. All right. Got to put that thing up on your shoulders. Carry the load. I really just put the rope on there because I thought it looked cool. And it added extra weight. Between the carabiners and the rope, it looks cool, don't it? Don't y'all agree? Yeah. You know? All right.
Buckle you up.
That's how we got to get you buckled. All right. Loosen these things up a little bit. All right.
The equalizer.
All right, we've got another part of this little deal. All right. Now, Chris calls this the equalizer. And, you know, ultimately what he's saying is he can run faster than Brian with the pack, you know. So he's saying, you know, we have to do something to level out the playing field. If I were running, that would certainly be true. But with these two guys, we'll see how that works out. Now, another part of CrossFit is real critical, okay, is everything's really timed, okay? And what you're going for is the lowest time. So, you know, we want to be true to CrossFit here. So we're going to have some timers up here on the screens, and we're going to time this thing out. So you guys ready to see this in action? Okay. Get comfortable. Look around. However you want to do it. It's cool. All right. You guys ready? You ready, Brian? You ready, Chris? All right. On your mark. Get set. Go. All right. I want to see if they have a little fight along the way up here when they're interacting. Got some people rooting for you, Brian. Chris, I hadn't heard your name yet. All right, Brian's down. 42. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Like 50. Yeah, faster, man. That's good. That's good. I'm impressed. All right, now, here's the deal. If you, like for me, if I just run up one of these sides, like when I get to the top, I'm pretty much worn out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just running up the side kind of does it for me. But, I mean, these guys, man, it's impressive. The only thing is, man, I could have swore I got a text this morning from Chris Bledsoe that said, I plan on winning. Didn't you send that?
I did.
All right, now, Brian, didn't you get a text too?
Yeah, I got one that says, I will smoke you.
Oh, I will smoke you. Okay. So we got 42 seconds in with Brian. We got like, what do you think? 50?
Like a minute eight.
Minute eight. It depends on when you call like here. Like if it's at the bottom of the steps, over here. We'll go with 55 seconds. Okay. 55 seconds. That's pretty good. What happened, Chris?
Well, I trained with 50 pounds. You put 60 on.
Ah. I see. Okay, there's something about 60 pounds that makes all the difference. Appreciate you guys helping me out. Thanks for coming up, and you can go ahead and grab a seat. I'm using two mics up here, and I don't know why, so I'm going to put this one down, and then we'll get cranked up with this other one. Let me get situated over here. All right, now there's something about 60 pounds that changes everything, okay? And I can tell you, I do know this by experience. No, I actually haven't ran across the church with it. I might try that someday. We had talked about doing some rappelling in here one day, just because why not? But we're not telling anybody. Shh, don't tell anybody that. But actually, this picture right here is a picture that I kind of took backpacking. This is Max Patch Mountain on the Appalachian Trail. So you kind of see the trail there. That's the AT on top of Max Patch Mountain, some frost on the ground, it's pretty cool. And that's my friend Robert's a little bit ahead of me on the trail. And that was on about a 50-mile journey from Hot Springs, North Carolina, all the way down to Newfound Gap. And that was this past February. And I can tell you this, one of the things that we do when we're backpacking is, I'll put it this way, we don't carry rope because it looks cool. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you're carrying because it looks cool, we pretty much ditch instantly, okay, because it's just too heavy. And let me tell you something, all right, when you pack, you put on this pack, and you know, Chris had it on for a few minutes as we were doing this and the running, and I wouldn't have done that myself because running with a 60-pound pack is crazy. But let me tell you something, when you put it on for a 50-mile journey, it gets heavy fast. It gets heavy real fast, and we're wanting to ditch literally anything. I mean, ounces, okay, people buy like titanium cups that cost $50 because it weighs 4 ounces less than an aluminum cup. That's crazy, all right? Why do they do that? Man, because it gets heavy fast. And man, as crazy as it is to take a 50, 60-pound pack and track 50 miles with it, you know, I think sometimes what we do in life, spiritually speaking, is, man, we load ourselves down with such great weight on our shoulders. And man, we just take off for the trail of life. And I'm telling you, 60 physical pounds over 50 miles is tough. But when you spiritually load yourself down for your lifetime, it's impossible. It's impossible. And what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of unpack some of the things we load ourselves down in with, and we're going to look at some solutions from God's Word, and we're going to talk clearly about what Scripture says about it, okay? I think there's certain things that we all kind of rest on our own shoulders. There's certain things that we all kind of pack in our packs, and we kind of start journeying with. And the way I kind of like to pack my packs, and even as we're doing this Panama team, I was telling our Panama group, this is the way you want to pack. See, I always use stuff sacks, because stuff sacks are great. There's about five or six different stuff sacks in here, and each one kind of carries different things, okay? And I think there's five or six stuff sacks that we use in our lives spiritually to kind of pack the stuff around that we need. Like this particular stuff sack's got a few things in it, but one of the things it has in it is the hammock. We're going to be sleeping in hammocks in Panama, which is pretty cool. This has got a hammock and a mosquito netting that goes around the hammock and a rain fly to keep us dry and some webbing, some different things in there. And we kind of pack this full. And as you start pulling out the stuff sacks that you find in your life spiritually, you're going to find that we carry a lot of guilt with us. We carry a lot of guilt over the sin that we've done in our lives. We just kind of stuff it all down into a bag, spiritually speaking. We shove it down in our pack, and we just carry that weight on our shoulders. But not only guilt, you know, one of the things that sin does to us is not only do we have the guilt of it, but it leads to shame too, doesn't it? And man, we've got all this guilt on us, and we've got all this shame on us, and we've got it all, you know, and shame ultimately begins to affect our character. But, you know, some of that, we talk about sin, and that's something we directly control. In other words, most of the time when we're being sinful in life, we're doing things we're not supposed to do, we kind of know that, don't we? But then there's some other things that we kind of carry with us too that we don't even really have control of. Hurts in life, just things that come to us in life. Man, like it could be an illness or something that happens to either yourself or somebody that you love, maybe to the point of death. You lost a family member, you lost a father or a mother, you lost a son or a daughter, you lost a brother or a sister, something happened to you in life, something tragic happened to you in life, or it could be something even as less as, man, we're all experiencing financial troubles and hurts and things like that as our economy goes through this little funk, okay? We experience these hardships in life, but it's not only, you know, guilt and shame and hardships of life and the hard things that come in life, but man, how about just the abuse that we take from other people? Man, I'm talking about, man, is there anybody in the room? If you haven't kind of realized this yet, do you think there's anybody in the room that hasn't been insulted and criticized and ridiculed and mocked? And maybe it was the playground at school when the other kids were picking on you about something. And I'm telling you, some of us that are well into adulthood still have etched in our brains and our minds and our hearts something that somebody said to us when we were younger. And stuff that people say to us now. Maybe a parent, maybe been a brother and sister that said it to you. Maybe it's what your father told you the whole time you were growing up. Maybe it's what your mother told you the whole time you were growing up. And man, we've got all this stuff that literally, like when I go backpacking, I literally take everything that I need with me and we hit the trail. And we take all this stuff and we put it on our shoulders. We rest it on our shoulders. And we take off. And there's also our failures. So we put all kinds of just crazy standards on ourselves, don't we? All kinds of insane standards that they're self-inflicted, and sometimes other people put those standards on there, and sometimes it feels like we just don't measure up. What happens is we're carrying around this pack, and we know what's in there. We also know the enemy, devil, Satan, his legion of followers, whatever it is, however you want to describe that, knows what's in our pack too. And man, he comes up in our face, the accuser comes up in our face, and he points his finger. He says, you know what's in that pack. Pull that bag of sin out. You know what's in there. Yeah, you may have kept it secret from other people, but you haven't kept it secret from me. You know everything it is that you're carrying. He says, who are you to make a difference in somebody else's life? You know what you've done. You remember what all those people said about you? Everybody's not wrong. That's the truth. And just one after another, he continues to throw insults and accusations and remind us of everything that we've done. And let me tell you something, in the midst of that process, any dream or vision or idea of being radically obedient to God's word and taking up the call to go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You want me to tell you what our response becomes? That's not for me. I can't do that. Who am I to say anything to anybody? Don't you know what I've done? Look, you know what I carry with me every day, the things that I've done? You know the shame that's a part of my life? And maybe it's not sin and guilt and shame that weigh us down. Maybe it's what other people have said about you. See, what happens is these things, our failures and our hardships and shame and abuse and everything that we've taken on in this life, see, it becomes more than just a backpack that we strap to our back, but it becomes our identity. It becomes the way we see ourselves. We can't even look in the mirror. You know, it's just a true fact that almost 100% of the people cannot look in the mirror and like what they see. There are very few people on the planet that look in the mirror and like what they say looking back at them. And the reason why we all look in the mirror and we don't like ourselves is because, man, we're loaded down with all this stuff. And guilt and shame and hardships, abuse that other people have given us, failures where we haven't lived up to our own expectations of ourselves. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is I was a part of a student ministry in this church, and I know we've got an incredible student ministry now as one of the youth pastors here for a while, but we've had some great youth pastors over the past years, and we've got some awesome things happening in the lives of our students. But I can look back not only in our student ministry, but the student ministry I was a part of, and I know many of you were a part of student ministries too. Not everybody in the room, but a lot of us. I mean, I can think back to the guys that I was in ministry with and the dreams and the ideas, I mean, in student ministry with and the dreams and ideas and the passion that they had for following Christ and living for God and honoring God with their life and making a difference for God. Not, it doesn't matter if they were interested in ministry. Some of them were very interested in ministry. Some of them were interested in missions. And if we look at our students, man, we've got a lot of students interested in ministry and interested in missions. But, man, I think about what do those students grow up to become? That's talking about us, isn't it? As adults. What do we grow up to become when we started with all this passion and excitement? Well, man, somewhere along the way, it seems like that life and that energy is just sucked out of us. And it's sucked out of us because we grow up and we start carrying this pack and we start putting more and more stuff in it. And, you know, it starts out kind of empty and it's pretty easy to carry. You know, it's not too bad. But we get a little bit further down in life and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And that accuser is just continuously pelting us with accusations. And we get to the point to where we just say, you know what? I just can't do it. I'm going to kind of default to American culture. I'm going to default to good job, good family, house, 2 cars, vacation every summer. And I'm going to live the American dream. And any dream, vision, and idea we had of becoming a radical follower of Jesus Christ and making a difference in the people's lives around us. I'm not talking about going into ministry or going into missions. Those things are great. And man, if God's calling you to do that, go for it. I'm talking about just being an everyday believer that's walking out into the community and saying, today, God's going to use me to make a difference in somebody's life. That's what we're talking about this morning. I want us to look at a passage. The first passage we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, so you can kind of turn there. It's interesting, right here nestled in the middle of Matthew, where Jesus is telling his disciples, this is literally what he says to them, I send you out like sheep amidst wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Does anybody wonder what happens to sheep amidst wolves? They become devoured, don't they? And Jesus is sending his disciples out in what seems to be great violence. And that starts in chapter 10 and goes to chapter 11 and chapter 12, and it's all throughout Matthew, but those are heavily concentrated areas where Jesus is sending the disciples out. And right in the middle of it, this is what he says in verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Listen to this. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What is Jesus talking about there? Because he's certainly not talking about life circumstances being always easy and carefree and having plenty of money and health, wealth, and prosperity, and anything you need, you'll be given. It's easy to see the New Testament is not talking about that. So what does it mean when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? It's just like in our justification, our salvation, we can drop the weight of guilt and shame and hardships and all that life brings our way, and we can rest fully in him, knowing that our identity is not about this bag and what we carry. It's not about what the accuser says to us. It's not about what the kids said on the playground, or your father, or your mother, or your brother, or your sister, or your friends, or anybody that tried to put an identity on you. Your boss, your professor, your teachers at school that said you would never make it. You'd never do well in college, you'd never do this, you'd never do that. But it's about the identity that Christ gives. And man, what a glorious, amazing, wonderful, man, if we could just get a hold of an identity. We're going to take a look at that, and it's in Colossians chapter 2. So many places we could look at in Scripture to grab a hold of this, and honestly, it was kind of hard to choose, but Colossians chapter 2 is where I landed, where we're going to spend a good bit of our time, and we'll look at Romans 8 just briefly. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, I want us just to catch a couple things here. I can tell you this, if we would just learn that we can drop that weight and abide in Christ and live in him and rest fully on the promises and the truths that God's Word says is true about us, it would be amazing how our lives could change. That passage, it says, and you who were dead, and one of the things you'll notice in all these passages is it's always past tense. If you are a believer in Christ, if you received salvation in Jesus Christ, you've trusted him, you've shifted the weight of your sin to him, and that's what we're talking about here. Man, one of the things I love about the backpack is, man, where does that weight pretty much fully sit? Man, right there on the shoulders. Man, what a biblical vision or picture to shift the weight, not only of just the debt of your sin, but also the debt of your guilt and shame and hardships and failures and the abuse you've taken from others, shifting that to Christ. It says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Man, catch verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Man, what an amazing picture. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Man, catch verse 15 too. And 15 doesn't get near as much press time as 14. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. You know what that means? Who's the accuser that constantly comes up and says, you know what you've done? Do you know who you are? Who do you think you are? Don't you see what you carry around with you? Who do you think you are to tell anybody else anything? And that accuser, according to Scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15, has been disarmed and no longer has anything to catapult your way. Because what Christ said is not in just justification. In other words, not just in salvation, but in life. Those things have been paid. And they are no longer your weight and no longer to be carried. But what does Christ say about us? And I'll be honest with you, we could spend the next hour just looking at passages of Scripture on what Christ says about us. Look in Romans chapter 8 real quick. Man, what an awesome passage too. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 4. The Scripture says, There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, is that not incredible? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. It doesn't exist. There's no more pack. There's no more weight. There's no more use for that guilt. There's no more use for that shame. There's no more use to hold all that stuff and carry it around and say, well, you know what? I can't be used by God, or I can't do this, or I can't do this, because I've got all these things that I'm carrying with me. And Scripture's telling us there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The truth of the matter is, you know what Scripture says is true about you? Scripture says you're a holy one, a saint, child of God. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter of the King. You've been given a whole new position. You've been set in the heavenly realms with Christ. He's rescued you from the dominion of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of light. Scripture tells us that you have access to God's throne and God's power, that you've been implanted, you've been indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and that there's not a believer in this room, if you've accepted Christ, there's not a believer in the room that has less power or authority or ability than anyone else in here. That you and me and every single one of us that has accepted salvation through Jesus Christ can be used by God to make a difference in somebody else's life. Man, that's powerful. Man, that's incredible to know that. Well, how do we go about that? How do we do that? How do we rest in that? How do we live in that? How do we understand? You know, somehow it's creeped into our minds. You know, and some of you guys are probably really familiar with this song, and some of you might not be quite as familiar with this song. And we've got some great songs in the church and just throughout the generations and the histories. And I'm not trying to knock this song because I understand where they're coming from. But somehow what's creeped into our theology is this concept of, I'm just a sinner, what? Y'all know it. Just a sinner what? One more time louder. Man, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Man, I'm glad to be saved, but I'm just a sinner. I'm carrying around this pack. Man, what do you expect from me? I mean, come feel this thing. See how heavy this load is. There's only so much I can do because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And Scripture's saying, man, where did you get that idea? Because it's not true. You are a holy one, a saint, an ambassador of the King of glory, Jesus Christ. And God wants to use you to make a difference in people's lives around you as you abide in Him and walk with the Spirit living inside of you and empowering you. Look back at Colossians chapter 2. You say, how in the world do we do that? It's pretty simple, to be honest with you. Got two more quick passages and we'll be done. It's pretty simple here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. Simple. Catch this little formula. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You say, man, what's so powerful about that? Here's what's powerful about that. You know what? When I go back and I think about how I received Christ Jesus the Lord, I don't think about how good I was. I don't think about how great I was. I don't think about how I measured up and did something really wise and good and cool and strong. And man, I'm somebody because I accepted Jesus Christ. But I think, no, what Scripture tells me is this. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And it is not of yourself, lest no man can boast. It is the gift of God. You know what I think about? Man, there is nothing that was redeeming about me, but there was everything capable of redeeming about Him. There was nothing that I did to become good enough or to measure up enough or to live up to a high enough standard or to become clean enough or to get my life right enough There was nothing I could have done to accept Christ. I was saved by grace through faith. And man, how freeing is it to know that my Christian life doesn't have to mean doing right all the time, and I'm not trying to excuse sin, but it doesn't mean that I have to pick up my burdens and pick up my weight and pick up my guilt and shame and lug it with me every day. But it's just as you received Christ, so walk in Him by grace through faith. We can walk every day of our lives and say, you know what? I'm living for the glory of God today, not because I'm somebody, but because He's somebody. Not because I'm good enough or able enough or got it right or any better than anyone else. And I think sometimes we even get this idea that, you know, whoever comes up on the stage and talks or whoever has pastor by their name is any better than anybody else. But let me tell you, I'm on the inside, okay? I've got pastor by my name. I've been around a lot of them. We're no better, none of us. For grace, we're saved by faith. And for grace, by grace through faith we're saved, and by grace through faith we walk in the Spirit. And I can tell you this, before I get up here and speak or teach the college students or anywhere I go, I say, God, let me tell you, I have nothing to give these people. If you don't show up and work through me, I have nothing to give. I mean, that's how we live every day. And saying, God, I don't have the ability. I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not wise enough, I don't know the word enough, I don't know anything enough. But man, the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. That's where the power is. That's what makes us righteous, not just in salvation, but in life. Let me show you one more thing, a picture of this. Acts chapter 3, real quick. I'm finishing up. I love this story. It's powerful. It's about the lame beggar that was healed at the beautiful gate. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the beautiful gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. It's amazing how specific that was. By the right hand, and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazed at what had happened. Going into verse 11, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them and in the portico called Solomon's. Man, what a picture that Peter and John were walking around along. And man, they had it right. Man, they had it figured out. First of all, when they were asked a question, he looked at them and he saw somebody that needed to be healed. You know, so many times we're so busy carrying our packs, and we don't even see the people around us, and we certainly don't see them the way God sees them. Somebody that needs healing and restoration and life and liberty and freedom and rescue. Man, he saw. Peter and John saw this man. Said, that's a man that needs healing. Man, he understood. He said, for silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give you in the name of the Lord. And let me tell you something. When we're walking through life, silver and gold have I none. And yeah, you may have money to give. The bottom line is we have nothing to offer. They understood they had nothing to give. We have nothing to offer. But man, he has everything to offer. Because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, offers life, liberty, and freedom, and rescue, and healing. Not only in justification or salvation, but in life, when it comes to walking every day, and it comes to realizing that, man, we're carrying around all this weight on us, and we're so worried about ourselves, our esteem and our identity and who we are and this stuff that we've got on us, these burdens and labors and just everything that we're carrying. And we can't help anybody around us. What Christ is saying is, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Rest in me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, it's arrogant to think we can carry this by ourselves, isn't it? Oh, Jesus, we don't need your help. We got it. When are we going to realize that just like in salvation, we have to transfer the weight of our sin and the payment for our sin to from our shoulders to Christ's shoulders? Just like in salvation, we have to do that in life. And we have to say, all this stuff that's been weighing me down for years, I'm done with it. It is no longer my debt load. It is no longer my payload. I am not carrying that anymore, but I am transferring that to Jesus Christ, and He will pay for that weight. He will haul that weight. He will take care of that. I'm not carrying it any longer. And we transfer the weight of all our guilt and our shame and everything that we've been carried around in hardship and abuse and identity and this whole thing that's made us look in the mirror and say, I don't have anything to give anybody else. I'm just trying to get my own life straight. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And we're able to look in that mirror and we're able to look at our accuser and say, no. And Micah chapter 7, verse 8 and 9 is incredible for this. And look at our accuser and we say, my God, Jesus Christ, has taken the weight of my sin. He's taken the weight of my guilt. He's taken the weight of my shame. And He's paid the price on the cross. And I don't have to carry that load anymore. That is not what is true about me. What Scripture says is true is I'm a child of God. I'm a holy one. I'm a saint. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm an ambassador for Christ. And God can use me to do great things for the kingdom and in other people's lives. That's the picture this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I get that, but I've never taken that first step, and I've never even transferred the weight of my sin and the payment of my sin onto Christ. And I want to do that this morning. I want to accept Christ and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. We'd love to help you with that. We'll have pastors down at the front in just a moment. You'll be able to come down. You can ask us. We'd be glad to share with you. There's lots of believers in the room that could share with you what God's Word says about transferring the weight of your sin, the penalty of our mistakes, from our shoulders to Christ, and receiving the free gift of salvation and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I urge every single one of us in here, because I promise you, man, I pick up my pack all the time, and I know you do too. I know I do. I'll be the first to admit it. You know what? I think every single one of us do, don't we? It's time to put it down. And maybe this morning in your seat or up at the altar or wherever you feel comfortable, this week, today after church, start putting that stuff down. Start surrendering that stuff to Christ and allowing Him to come in and take that weight off of you. And realize that you have every ability. You have everything that you've been given in Christ.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Eagles Landing First Baptist Church, visit our website at www.eagleslanding.org. or call our church office at 770-957-1355. Live for Jesus.